This was from a Big Lebowski night that I did with my friends. And
of course it is.
Yeah. Right? It's kind of, you know, so ironically, perfect. This was from Target. My buddy was in Target and he's like, well, if we're having Big Lebowski night, we all need Big Lebowski sweaters. So he bought everybody like a Big Lebowski sweater. And then I just happened to be walking through Target the other day and I'm like, hey guys, we should do this again because I have them, you know? So
like, you're like, I just want to wear this. I want an excuse to wear this sweater again.
Yeah.
So he chose the podcast because nobody would be able to see him on video. So.
What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. I am super thrilled to have a repeat guest today. My buddy's over at 90 Second Beer Review hanging out with me. We are talking today about our drunk stories. So you guys are going to this one's going to be a fun episode because you get to hear a little bit about our memories growing up, having too much to drink. And then we've got a really cool announcement from Ryan and Howard about a little event we're going to be they're putting on in February that Into the Dark Blue will be a part of as well. So that to come here in just a little bit. First off, how are you doing, Ryan and Howard?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. I'm really excited about this whole thing and the Pints of Love event that you guys are going to be doing in February. I think that's going to be a pretty cool event. So you want to give a little brief overview about Pints of Love real quick, and then we'll get more in detail about it later?
Yeah, sure. So Pints of Love, something that Ryan and I are really excited about. We've been working on this for a long time. But really, at its core, it's a two-day virtual craft beer festival on Valentine's Day weekend. It is really kind of focused on celebrating the craft beer communities of New York and North Carolina, which are our home markets. And we've got 24 amazing craft breweries from the two states signed up. I can't wait to get to Valentine's Day weekend. It's going to be really 2 days of virtual content. It's a safe, socially distant way for people to connect, to enjoy the weekend. And for those that want to go above and beyond the $15 base ticket and get one of the small number of VIP packs we're doing, you're going to get yourself 12 beers, one from each of the breweries in your state, a locally made box of chocolates because it's Valentine's Day and you got to have some chocolates, a custom festival glass and a bunch of other fun things. And we're just going to have a lot of fun and try to celebrate craft beer and help out some craft breweries for the weekend.
Sweet. Yeah, and even though it's focused on New York and North Carolina, I think this is something that really relates to everybody, right? So it being a virtual festival, these breweries are definitely names that I think people across the country will know, names like Burial, names like Other Half, Equilibrium, etc. So, you know, I think it's something that is going to be really exciting for a lot of people because there's a lot of ways to get involved. There's a little bit of something for everybody, and that was really what we're going for with it was, you know, we appeal to, you know, yoga, music, obviously the podcast side, the brewers panels. So a little bit of something for everybody to get involved and get in the mix with.
Cool. That's awesome. I can't wait to hear a little bit more about that too. And you know, where that idea came from and everything. But first, as you know, we got to do a little toast. Ryan can't drink with us tonight because, you know, COVID.
Don't have COVID though. I just point that out. I just want to be out of an abundance of caution until the negative test comes back. We're making sure that we're good here. So
yes,
safety absolutely.
Safety first indeed. Howard, on the other hand, though, has a lovely beer over there. What do you got?
Yeah, so I actually have something, even though I am the North Carolina part of 90 Second Beer Review. I was up in New York visiting family. And found a version of the Black is Beautiful collaboration that's being led by Weathered Souls out of San Antonio. So this is a version from Non Sequitur out of Brooklyn. It's a black kvake lager. And I'm loving it. It's got a lot of like roasty coffee notes, got a little bit of like toasted pumpernickel, but still, you know, body-wise on the lighter side. This is kind of right up my alley for kind of an easy drinking winter beer.
Yeah, that sounds great. Most of the Black is Beautiful beers that I've had so far are super sweet dessert beers kind of thing, you know, just a really thick imperial stout kind of thing, so 10% or higher, and so it's kind of a nice refreshing thing to hear for the recipe, a little different spin on it. So
what do you got,
dude? I am drinking a Leather Britches Porter from Blackberry Farm. Yeah,
it's a cool label. And there
isn't it? Yeah, so there's actually this thing called the 48 Beer Project. There's an artist called Heidi Geist who's traveling around the country doing a beer label a week in each of the lower 48 states until she hits each state. So so she's stopping into each brewery. She's designing a beer label for them and then moving on to the next one. So it's pretty cool stuff.
It's an artist.
That's an awesome segue. I didn't even know about that. We just kind of led right into that.
I know, it was perfect.
It sounded so professional until you just called yourself out.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we know that I'm not professional, so that's fair.
I mean, we don't expect anything of that nature from you, so it's okay. The funny thing is, I actually told Howard about it before you signed on, Ryan, and then you had the natural transition to ask about it. So you guys are just on the same page there. So, so we're gonna give this a try. And I always love a good porter too. I heard you say that, Howard, and I do love porter. It's one of my favorite winter styles to drink, like during cold months, because it's just got that kind of campfire kind of feel to it. So,
yeah, I mean, porter's cool too because it can vary so widely. I mean, I just had one from Wise Man Brewing out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which is another one of the breweries kind of as part of the festival. And theirs was much more weighted to kind of like the cocoa notes, like a little bit of cocoa, a little bit of like caramel and brown sugar. And so, like, you know, it's all within that same family of style, but you can go so far in different directions with it.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, the funny thing is, truth be told, I've actually had this before. I found this in Nashville while I was up there visiting some friends, and I bought a 4-pack because it just looked really good. And I actually really enjoyed it up there. And I opened it just now, and I got a little bit of a different flavor than I did when I was up in Nashville. And I'm actually getting like the dark chocolate and a little bit of coconut. Just like a real slight undertone of coconut, and it's kind of nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's something that we've been seeing more from like the porters and stouts. Is I think every year Howard and I kind of talk about what is one of the themes of that year. Last year, I remember there were a lot of almond beers. I saw a lot of beers coming through with almond in them. This year, I've seen a lot of beers coming through with coconut in them. So maybe that's the trend of 2020 is coconut.
Yeah, it could be. Cheers to Heidi Geist and her artistic nature, and cheers to negative COVID tests.
Cheers.
Definitely hope so. Yeah, cheers.
All right, so let's get into this. Who wants to tell their drunk story first?
Sure. I'll go for it. I'll take it back to, kind of my, I guess, young professional days. As a little bit of background, I went to school in upstate New York, traveled around for a little while at the beginning of my professional career, and then came back and spent a number of years, in the financial district in Manhattan, and had a lot of fun. This particular night I was out with a couple of my closest friends. I will not call them out by name. There was a particular dive bar in the financial district that was known for being fairly rowdy. That was where we ended up with a group of six or so that night. The night was going along pretty nicely and everything was getting a little fuzzy. One of the things that this bar was known for was people getting up and dancing on the bar. So in this instance of the story, I wasn't, but there's another memorable reason why I'm telling the story. One of the guys in our group, who was definitely not known for this type of behavior, ended up on the bar for a significant period of time. He came down, everything seemed to simmer. It seemed like the night was going to kind of settle out. Then we realized that person was nowhere to be found. We couldn't really figure out what's going on. And then next thing we know, he is on his way out of the bar with a bouncer holding him kind of by the back of the neck. We couldn't really figure out what had happened. So we ran outside, sorted the whole thing out. We agreed to walk him home. And he subsequently tells us in his drunken state at that point that he had wanted chicken fingers. And so rather than do what any other person would do when they want chicken fingers, go find the nearest drunk food spot. This place, it has a kitchen. It was closed at that point. He wandered off into the kitchen and went into the deep freezer and tried to steal a bag of frozen chicken fingers and got caught. And spent the entire walk home telling us about how amazing the chicken fingers would have been had he gotten them. Suffice it to say, the rest of the night didn't work out very well for him. He didn't feel particularly great the rest of that weekend,
I would assume.
But just the audacity to go into the closed kitchen and get into the deep freeze is something that I will never forget, particularly because he maintained for the rest of the evening that he was absolutely right and that those chicken fingers would have been fantastic had he got them home.
That's great. I love it.
So Howard, I noticed that you decided to go with a story not about yourself.
Yeah. And honestly, the only reason I did is because honestly, like my memories of that story are some of my favorite memories of a drunk night out.
I was going to say, I feel like I've heard this story before. So
I mean, it's literally like the whole way home. Like Adrian and I were on either side, kind of pinballing his way back and forth. And he was just saying the most insane thing, like just couldn't get over the chicken fingers. And then finally we got him home. He was like lying on the floor and we just tossed him like a small bag of Cheetos. And he just like nibbled on some Cheetos, passed out, and was just like a wreck for the rest of the weekend. He's usually not the center of the thing. And so the fact that he was on top of the bar and then was actually in the deep freeze in the back trying to steal a thing of frozen chicken fingers made it one of the more memorable nights I've ever had, just because it was just so unexpected and out of character.
Yeah, definitely.
Hilarious. Hey, check this out. If you haven't tried Sheath underwear yet, I can tell you from experience, it will change your life. It's got not one, but two pouches for your bits and pieces. It's basically like upgrading from a studio apartment to a two-bedroom house for your junk. I won't wear anything else at this point. I've replaced my entire underwear drawer with Sheath. So if you want to try it out for yourself, you can get 25% off by going to sheathunderwear.com and use promo code DARKBLUE, all caps, DARKBLUE. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, so Howard, you know, told a story not about himself. I'm a masochist, so I'll tell a story about myself, I guess. Also taking it back to college when I was spent some time in upstate New York going to college, about maybe 2 hours north of Howard at the time. And we went out one night, had a bunch of drinks before we went to the bars. Actually, if I remember correctly, it was Halloween. So we were all dressed up. I was actually dressed up as showed my future because I dressed up as a beer knight. I made a complete suit of armor out of beer boxes. So I was very popular that night. I got a bunch of drinks bought for me. And there was a certain bar that was known for $3 Long Island iced teas. So that's, if you have dangerous, multiple $3 Long Island iced teas, yeah, it 100% is dangerous. So somewhere during the night, ended up blacking out. And the next day I was wearing the same costume. You know, it was Halloween weekend. And guy comes up to me, he's dressed as a pirate. And he goes, "Hey man, you stabbed me last night." And I'm sitting there going, "I'm really sorry, man. Like, I had way too much to drink. I don't remember last night at all. You know, I really apologize." He's like, no, this is my fault." Now I'm sitting there going, "All right, I need to understand how me stabbing you is your fault." So he goes, "Well," he's like, "yeah, you know, you're a knight. I'm a pirate. I wanted to sword fight you all night in the bar and you kept telling me no. And eventually you just had enough of me. You stabbed me, ripped the parrot off my shoulder, and then threw it out the door of the bar and told me to go away." So I was like, "Okay, yeah, that might have been me. That's probably what I did." So
a little insight into Ryan's character there. That's pretty funny. Is that, and that's where that one ended?
Yeah, luckily that's where that one ended. But no, it was good. We got along. You know, it was a good night. The rest of the night was fun. Had some laughs, and a pirate and a knight got together and had fun. So
that sounds great. I love it. Yeah.
Your turn.
So I'm gonna do a little bit of both. I'm gonna tell one about a friend and one about myself. The first one about my friend, this is the only time I've ever seen somebody get this drunk in my life. But we were at me and her and a couple and one other friend. We were at this gay bar right in San Antonio, and the bar had mirrors all over the walls, so the entire place was covered in mirrors. And so we were just kind of out having fun, having a few drinks, whatever. But she is a professional at consuming vodka cranberry. So she'd had plenty at this point. And I look over at one point, I kind of had lost her, like, where'd she go? I look over and she's standing, leaning up on one of the rails. There's like a short little bar kind of thing you could set your drinks on against the wall. And she was like leaning on one of those, trying to order a drink from herself in the mirror. And then what, 10, 15 minutes later, she's climbing these giant stairs, trying to go into what she thought was another room because there were more mirrors up there. And so she's climbing these like 5-6 foot stairs, trying to get up into the other room of the bar that she thought was there. I was like, all right, well, I think it's time to leave.
Before you go in the back and try to get chicken fingers.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She was right there too. So anyway, that's the only time in my life I've had to carry somebody out of a bar. So that was kind of a memorable moment.
I couldn't count the times I had to carry somebody out of the bar. Like I'm actually doing the math on that going, I spent a good portion of college literally throwing somebody over my shoulder and carrying them home. So
that was how Ryan got all of his workouts done in college. He didn't really like going to the gym.
It was the rugby team, man. You just you know,
lifting humans.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, this porter is just really good. I wish I had bought more of this and brought it back with me now. So the other story about myself is, I'm not recalling most of it, but I do remember, so my ex-wife and I, we were living in Fort Worth at the time, and some of her friends came up to visit us from San Antonio. We went to a Dave Matthews concert that night. They came back and stayed at our place that night, and we were all drinking and having a good time, whatever. And at some point it got super late, and we had irresponsibly gone out to a local pool hall that I used to play at pretty regularly. And we were hanging out there and drank too much there. And, you know, I didn't think I had that much, but by the time we got back, we went out onto the patio of the balcony of the apartment. We were playing music. I had no idea at this point that it was like 3 a.m. So we've got neighbors coming out of their houses. One person's playing guitar, I'm playing a drum, and we've got apartment neighbors coming out of their places and like yelling at us. And specifically, I had this one woman is just like, look, it's not that it isn't good, it's just late, please go to bed. And so we were like, oh, sorry, whatever, didn't realize, put the instruments away, and we went for a walk. Well, it turns out, what was it, probably 30 minutes later on our walk, whatever the last thing we had drank was, kicked in, and I was out. Like, I had no clue where I was. I was crawling around on my hands and knees in the apartment, like in the lawn of the apartment, trying to figure out where my apartment was. I had no clue where to go. And I had to call my wife at the time. I had to call her and ask her to come get me. And I was like, you know, just a couple buildings away. I couldn't figure out where I was. And so she had to wake up, come get me, take us back upstairs, and pass out. Well, she had to work the next day and was so mad at us that she actually turned the heat up, left the house, and went to sleep in her car at work. Because we had caused so much of a problem that night.
Ouch.
And the dad in me just sits there going, turn the heat up. That's like, that's punishing yourself. You don't do that.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
touch the thermostat.
Exactly. I mean, that's, you're going to have to pay the bill later, right? But yeah, so we all woke up sweating and sick. And so that was a really interesting experience. But definitely a big learning lesson for me. And that was my, all right, I'm done drinking that much.
It happens to everybody at some point.
I want to say I was like 27 when that happened. That was less than 10 years ago, which I don't know if I'm proud about that or not. But
that's a perfectly acceptable age to have that kind of realization moment. I think I was probably somewhere pretty close to that.
I'm trying to think. I was, yeah, probably about the same. I'm trying to date back to probably when I got married and started getting more responsible, but specifically when I had kids. So, you know, Howard knows now that, and you know, as you know, Zach, you know, I was putting my daughter to bed. So until my kids are in bed, I really can't drink much. And reality is that if I drink too much, I'll probably just fall asleep. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of a natural way of making sure that you can't drink too much. Have kids. That's not an endorsement for having kids.
Except Ryan is the one that gravitates to most of the highest ABV beers that get reviewed in 90-second beer review.
That's because he's a one and done. He can't drink.
Yeah, he just wants to cram it all into one glass and be done.
If you have like 45 minutes to drink a beer, you might as well get your money's worth out of it. So
exactly. That's where the 16% like triple IPAs come from.
Yes, that's funny.
16.4. Well, that's
what, you know, actually, if you haven't tried it yet, I know Nightmare's up there. You and I talked about Nightmare Brewing the other day. They have the Crucifixion. It's an Imperial IPA with sacramental bread in it. Mm-hmm. It's brewed with sacramental bread. And that was like 11% or something. And
that's on the low end for them.
Like, okay. All right.
Well, I honestly don't even know if, I don't even know if they make a beer that's under 10%. Cause the only beers I've seen have all been double digits. And high end, they're all 15 and stuff like that. So.
Wow. That's insane. That might as well be a wine at that point. I had a Goza from them. It was like a blackberry Goza. And it was only 8%, I think.
Only 8% for a Goza.
Right, for a Goza. Exactly, right.
I think most breweries would call that an Imperial Goza, but...
but not Nightmare. But anyway, the artwork was amazing on that can, which is really what drew me to it. But anyway, if you guys haven't tried that one with the sacramental bread in it yet, definitely put it on the list.
I like the sound of it.
So do you guys have any specific moment where you were just like, I need to chill the fuck out and drink less?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always have that moment, and it's a matter of how long it lasts. So I would say, okay, you know, Howard
you
and I
have one
a,
that lasted.
Yeah, Howard and I had a shared moment where, you know, I think we realized that we drank way too much. You know, I'm sure Howard already knows about this one. So, and I'm sure he's thinking about the same thing as I mentioned it, but, we actually went out on we're talking about this last night. We went out on a brewery crawl. And it started off with good intentions that we would get a bunch of beer reviews in, things would go well. And we went to the first spot, which was Grim.
Not Grim in intent, like feeling, but Grim artisanal ales.
Grim artisanal ales in Brooklyn. Yeah. And so we had, I don't know, maybe about 3 beers apiece there. Ended up getting some food, which ended up being like the biggest quesadilla I've ever had in my life.
Everything that they made there, and like there was no like ads about it, but everything that they served us was supersized.
Oh, yeah. Like burrito-sized tortillas.
I mean, Ryan's
it was a burrito-sized tortilla, yeah.
It was like a supersized, like... His quesadilla probably could have fed a family of 4 for like 3 or 4 meals.
Oh my gosh. That's insane.
It was awesome though. It was a a lamb quesadilla. So it was really good.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah. Sounds very Mexican.
Yeah. So we did that. And then just coincidentally, which by the way, Grim is somebody participating in the Pints of Love Festival.
Oh, exciting.
Went around the corner and maybe about 3 blocks away or so is Interborough Spirits and Ales, who also a participant in Pints of Love. So we ended up spending some time there, you know, probably same thing, maybe about 3 beers, and said, okay, you know, we've had our stay here. We need to move on to the next spot. Although I do remember also getting food at Interborough. Not sure how that happened, but ended up moving on to the next spot, and we went to KCBC, which, by the way, is also a Pints of Love participant.
You said so, there's a theme here.
Shameless yeah. plugs happening here.
Yeah.
Not intentionally, but yeah, so we ended up going there, hung out for a bit, and, you know, spent some time, actually ended up talking with one of the brewers for a while, and he's telling us about how they brew the beers and everything. And I think at this point, we're probably, I don't know, maybe 9-10 beers in a piece. And we have the absolutely brilliant idea that why stop when you're ahead? So, you know, I think we just kept on going, and you guessed it. We went to another Pints of Love participant in other half. So after a short Uber ride over, we ended up at our next destination, which just happened to be around the time of Pastry Town. And if you're not familiar with other half's Pastry Town, it's pretty much where you have a, I don't know, all what mid double digits, kind of like 15% stouts. Mm. So we probably had about three of those a piece. And at that you're done.
It sounds like an expensive night.
Well, I would put it at this. The intended plan was to get to KCBC and then call it a day after that. We added other half on as a bonus because when you're in Brooklyn and you know, with Ryan and I living in different states, it's rare that we get to go out and hit a bunch of breweries together. Like, you have to go.
So we decided to hit every brewery.
Right. So we decided to hit every brewery. But of course, you know, as other half tends to do sometimes, I don't think that there was a beer on the menu that night that was sub 8%. Everything was, you know, double and triple hazy IPAs and, you know, 15% imperial pastry stouts. And for Ryan, it was a little bit of a longer trip home to get out to Long Island. My family is in downtown Brooklyn. It's walkable from where other half is. I don't know exactly.
It's walkable before going to four breweries.
Right. I'm honestly not sure if I walked it or took a cab, but I know that somehow I ended up 1 second in other half, the other second in my bed back at the house that I grew up in Brooklyn. Not really sure how. And the next morning, I think one of the first things I texted back to Ryan was other half was in no other situation would this be true, but other half was probably a bad decision last night.
That's funny.
Yeah. So that was a long night. And I think we paid for it the next day. So that's one of those things where pretty safe to assume that there was no beer consumed for a decent amount of time after that day.
Yeah. Yeah. That totally makes sense. I think I, you know, actually had a couple instances like that while I was in Ireland recently. I had a couple of nights where I'm actually pretty proud of myself for making it back to my Airbnb, considering it was in a completely new city I didn't know very well. When I made it back to the house, I was just like, yeah, I'm pretty amazing.
it's always good to pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so, you know, it's about that transition, I think, from party phase to moderation and responsibility. And like, I would hope that most of us hit that point at some point in our lives. And so, you know, for me, the combination of like wanting to get healthy, just in all aspects of my life. And then also just, like financial responsibility and also just, I don't know, just not wanting to end up, I don't know, just broke and
laying
sad.
In the courtyard of your apartment.
Laying right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was definitely a one-time experience. but yeah, so it's like, at what point do we kind of transition into that, in that place? And for me, I actually had a situation like that where I was like, I had a night out with some friends, and I recall standing at, like, we were all dancing, having fun, just going crazy, having drinks and stuff. And I had a moment where I walked outside just to get some air, and I had a drink in my hand, and I was like, I look at the drink, and I just had that, I was like, oh my God, I'm really drunk. I look at the drink, and I took a deep breath, and I was just like, set the drink down. It was almost full. I set it down, and I walked away from it. And like, that was one of my first like really conscious moments where I was just like, all right, I got to take it easy.
As you were doing that, some inspirational music played in the background, and you walked off into the sunset.
Right, exactly. I think it was the final countdown, actually.
I mean, I think that happens for a lot. I don't know. For me, like I think everything depends on people's personalities. Like for me, there definitely wasn't like that one instance. It was kind of a gradual transition over time. Like people who know me, like I'm a bit of a control freak sometimes.
No.
Really, Yeah. And I'm a little, Ryan probably bears the brunt of it. But you know, I'm also really bad at just like not doing things. I like to be productive. I like to get things done. And I just started getting to a certain point in my life where, you know, it was just kind of in the way. Like those big nights were in the way. And, you know, when I was younger and living in Manhattan, you know, I have some great groups of friends there that were all going through the same things I was. We'd go out together and like nobody knew how to be the first person to say that they were going home. And so we'd all egg each other on and end up out until 6 a.m. And it wasn't because any one of us individually necessarily wanted to be out till 6 a.m, but nobody wanted to be the first one to go.
It was a competition at that point.
It was a competition. But I got to a point where that, you know, A, the hangovers got worse and worse. You know,
of course.
Just being honest.
I didn't have a hangover until I was 27 years old. And I think I'm paying for that now.
Yeah, you're doing double duty now. But it's, I didn't like the fact that a big night meant the next day was absolutely wasted. I couldn't get things done. I didn't like being unproductive. I don't particularly like the feeling of being out of control.
Right.
And honestly, I'll tell you, like 90 Second Beer Review did actually a lot for me in terms of tamping down a lot of that, because I gained a whole different appreciation level for beer as something other than just that thing that gets you drunk. But also, like, look, you know, Ryan and I, we've had a lot of fun doing this. We really enjoy what we're doing. We like the content that we're putting out. And honestly, to me, one of the more enjoyable things at the end of the day is being able to try a cool beer and really be able to sit with it, think about it. And that whole process of sitting with a beer, thinking about it, tasting it, it takes some time. And you can't drink, you can't review more than 3 or 4 beers in a night if you're doing them properly.
Just taking the pictures alone takes a while.
Oh yeah.
and you know, and look, your palate gets worn out. And also as you drink beer slower, it hits you harder. And so that naturally over time, I just kind of got to this point where I'd rather take the time and have 2 beers in a night and have them be really great beers I'm able to really sit with and think about and enjoy, than having, you know, 6 beers and not feeling great the next day and not really having enjoyed any of the 6.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely get that. I think the more that I have learned to appreciate the craft of beverages in general, the craft of alcohol, the more money I spend on it when I drink it, for one.
And that's two, a trick.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, I buy 2 beers for the same price that I would have usually bought like a 6-pack for. You know, and then there's just like you said, taking the time and enjoying it as an art more so than, you know, a means to get drunk or, you know, escape from whatever feelings I'm having that day, you know? And so, yeah, now I sit down with a beer. It lasts me, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the beer, if it's something that I'm just really enjoying. And so, yeah, there's that appreciation aspect to it that I think does kind of calm down the party aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an escape in a different way, right? You know, like when you're younger, you drink a bunch of beer to get drunk and escape whatever happened that day and whatever else is going on. When you have these great beers, you know, to me, sitting down, thinking about that beer, enjoying the flavor of it, thinking about, you know, what's going on behind the process, you know, behind the scenes as they make it, that's a whole different kind of like mental escape. It's something else to focus on. It takes you away from whatever happened during your, you know, day job or whatever else you were doing on at that point. And it's just a way to like kind of sit down, focus on something a little bit more singular for a little bit. And, you know, I think as Ryan and I have gotten deeper and deeper into the craft beer world over the last couple of years, like the more you learn, the more you appreciate it. And it just keeps going as you get further in. I mean, every time we're doing this, we're learning something new. Ryan and I are always reading books, you know, watching movies, listening to podcasts, like trying to really understand as much as we can about what's going on. And the more you do that, the more that this stuff just kind of amazes you as you're drinking it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just hard to keep up with too. There's so much going on. There's so much evolution in the process that, you know, something like hops, for example, where they were a few years back to now, you can't even keep up with it. There's constantly new hops coming out. There's new techniques for how you go about it. You know, cryo, incognito. So, you're constantly just trying to keep up with the technology, and it takes a lot of effort just to kind of stay up with it. So when you're drinking it, you spend all that time trying to learn about it. You might as well enjoy it while you're doing it.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. You know, that's a good point, because like I remember a few years, like I'll probably want to say like 6 years ago, when I was really getting into craft beer, I was like, right, you know, just really, really getting into it and doing a lot more research and trying a lot more beers. There was like Citra, Flora, and Mosaic hops. Yep. That was it. Right. And then like all of a sudden there's these galaxy hops and there's these hybrid hops and there's all this stuff. And I'm just like, I don't even know what I like anymore, because I don't know where these things are coming from. So,
well, the crazy thing too is how you use hops will change the flavor of them so much. So, you know, just different techniques and different temperatures all change the flavor. So you can have the same hop in different things. It tastes completely different.
Yeah.
So, you know, just trying to understand that of, okay, well, this has this hop in it. Why does it taste this way? And okay, well, this one was introduced in the whirlpool versus, you know, this one that was done as a dry hopping. And I think that process is always interesting.
Yeah.
Fresh hops are like a whole different animal. So
fresh hop season in Seattle is one of my favorite times.
Honestly, I'm jealous. Like we get a couple down here, and there are actually a few like North Carolina made fresh hop beers, because there are like some local hop farms and things like that. But
yep,
I would love to get up to the Pacific Northwest for fresh hop season, because I mean, I can't even imagine.
Hey, you know, when I do my tour, you guys should come meet me there and be a part of the Pacific Northwest tour. We'll hit up Portland and Seattle together and make a thing of it. So
I'm here for it. Let's do that.
Yeah, but we'll only stop at three breweries. The fourth one is always bad.
Or do a one beer per brewery limit.
I say the fourth one needs to be like a traditional lager brewery that has nothing on tap that's like greater than like 6.5%. Then we'll be all right.
That's perfect.
We're trying to talk about how we learned, Howard.
Yeah, this is that, it's that that's I think that's growth, right? I mean,
yeah. That's, yeah, baby steps, right?
There you go.
Actually, we're going to do a I'm talking with a friend of mine up there who works with Movember and the UW Men's Health segments of UW Men's Health up there in Seattle. And he and I are working on a block party beer festival up in the Ballard district, where there's like 20 different breweries all in, you know, a few blocks walking distance of each other. So we're actually talking about doing a big joint event up there in the spring.
Hell yeah. So, that's really cool. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
If you guys could make it over there for that, that'd be amazing. You could do like some live beer reviews during the block party and stuff. That'd be fun.
I love it.
Definitely.
I'll say I was in Seattle in January, and I got to a couple of great breweries up there, but there are so many on my list. I need probably another 3 or 4 trips just to get even part of the way through that.
Right. Absolutely. All right. All this talking is making me a little thirsty. I think I'm going to take a little break real quick and grab myself a can of Liquid Death Mountain Water. This stuff is legitimately some of the most refreshing water I have ever had. And I know you're thinking, whatever, it's just water, right? No, this is different, guys. This stuff is hardcore. And not only is it hardcore, but it's also socially responsible. So check it out yourself. They have flat water and sparkling water as well at liquiddeath.com. And you can get 15% off your order with promo code DARKBLUE. So head on over to liquiddeath.com and murder your thirst. Speaking of that, I would love for you guys to tell me a little bit more about Pints of Love and the details, where it came from, what the purpose is, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we're working with a virtual event platform called Lemonade Social. And they, you know, they came to us, we started having some conversations about putting an event on. You know, obviously we're in kind of unique times right now with COVID. The rise of virtual events was really kind of accelerated. And you know, Ryan and I got really excited about the idea of putting on a virtual craft beer festival, but if we were going to do it, we wanted to make sure that we were doing something that actually brought value to people. You know, we didn't want to just throw something kind of random out there. And we also knew that we wanted to have a physical beer kind of component to it. So we started reaching out in our markets. We brought on two co-organizers. So we brought on the Glass Jug Beer Lab here in Durham, which is a bottle shop and craft brewery. And the Hopscotch Bottle Shop up in Deer Park, New York, which is one of very few kind of high-quality bottle shops in the New York metro area. It's just not as big of a thing in that market right now. And Chris from Glass Jug, Mark from Hopscotch were really fantastic people to talk to, kind of work on planning this out. And ultimately what we settled on was, you know, in order to make this kind of, I think, as valuable an event for everybody involved, the February kind of early 2021 timeframe made a lot of sense. And from the brewery perspective, you know, early in the year is a really dead period. You're past the holidays, you're past, you know, the Oktoberfest festivals. You've got a lot of people doing dry January. It's just not a very busy time of year for craft beer. Yep. And you're coming off of a year that's already been really tough for craft breweries. You know, you've had on and off taproom shutdowns all year. It's been a really confusing time to try to run some of these businesses. And so having that kind of normal kind of dead period at the beginning of the year after a tough 2020 is really, really difficult. And then for attendees, you know, unfortunately with COVID, I think it's going to be a really tough and isolating winter for a lot of people. Valentine's Day weekend for some people is great. For a lot of people, it's very stressful. In the best of times, and coming off of COVID, I think it's going to be that much more difficult, especially with people not being able to go out to bars and really connect and socialize at that point, because it's going to be cold in a lot of cities. And you know, a lot of cities are still restricting, indoor dining, indoor bars and things like that. So doing this Valentine's Day weekend event, you know, we think it gives us a chance to put the focus back on the craft beer community, back on some great craft breweries, getting people thinking about them again, buying craft beer. And for attendees, it's just an opportunity to stay at home, have a safe, socially distant way to spend the weekend, connect with other craft beer fans. And, you know, Ryan mentioned it before, it's bringing a little bit of something for everybody, you know, whether it's kind of the more in-depth, you know, beer panels and interviews with brewers, or it's, you know, music sessions or beer and yoga or live podcasts or, you know, mental health sessions. Like, we want to have a little bit of something in there that everybody feels like they can get something that they want out of it. And really just have a good time. And the, you know, the cool part about doing it virtually is we've got the schedule that, that will be released as we get closer to the event of all the different sessions that are going on. Awesome. But everything's going to be recorded after it goes. And so, even if you've got some plans that weekend and you know, you're able to, you know, spend some time with family, friends, significant others, when you get back home, you can pull up any of the content from the festival, watch it on demand. It'll be available for a couple of days after the festival. And so, you know,
Do people have to have tickets to be able to pull up that content afterward?
They do. So the $15 ticket gets you access to all of the content. And that's both during the festival and on demand. Awesome. So it's really just that $15 ticket, and that gets you access to everything. And then the VIP packs is really just an opportunity for those that really want to get kind of the full, you know, decadent Valentine's Day experience. That's your way to get
the ones who live in New York and North Carolina anyway.
Or can get there, you know, where the packs will be available for about a week beforehand for pickup. And so, you know, if you're in a neighboring state and you want to make the trip, you'll have the ability to come and pick it up. And
look, as long as you guys send me one of the pint glasses, we'll call it square. I won't be too upset about it. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
There you go. But you know, I think one thing that, we're thinking about too, is, you know, just from a value standpoint, by bringing everybody together, putting this event together on kind of a grander scale, you know, for a $15 admission fee, you're getting access to sessions that would normally be $20-$25 on their own. So just looking at the beer and yoga, we also have a bar and beer. So if anybody's familiar with bar, it's kind of the ballet workout program. My wife is actually a former ballerina, so she's really excited about that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you know, those sessions alone would go for $20-$25. So just right off the bat, if that's your thing, you can get in, you can take a beer and yoga class, you can take a beer and bar class, and you saved, you know, $5-$10 just by taking that one class. So
yeah, and we'll have some mental wellness forums as well from Into the Dark Blue. So all you guys, all you Dark Blue fans who are listening, we're going to be a part of that as well. So grab yourself a ticket, $15 ticket, and we'll be doing some live sessions talking about mental wellness during some of the difficult holiday seasons, and working through being single during those times, and some other things as well. So
yeah, and for those that just want to, you know, nerd out on craft beer, we're going to have more than enough content there. We're going to do a wide variety of panels, talking about a bunch of different topics in the craft beer industry. All those are going to be panels of brewers, of sales reps, of owners and founders of some of these amazing breweries.
That's awesome.
New York and North Carolina. We're going to do some Q&A sessions, really get to know the brewers behind your favorite beers. And so it's going to be a really cool experience to, you know, get in there and really learn a lot for those that want to have that part of the experience.
Right. Sure. And if none of that is your thing, we'll have live music as well playing throughout the event. So you can log in and listen to a band play.
Just cast it to your TV and have a dance party, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Perfect. So if you guys haven't heard of them yet, I just actually connected recently with a gentleman from craft beer professionals, .org. And so what he's doing is actually connecting craft beer professionals across the nation, and just creating a community, for people to kind of bond together as in the craft beer community and talk about important issues and things like that. So it might be a good opportunity for you guys to connect with them as well. Just on Facebook, go search craft beer professionals or go to craftbeerprofessionals.org and sign up for the Facebook group. And I'm actually going to be doing a panel with them about mental wellness, about alcoholism in the craft beer community. And so I'm going to be doing that panel on December 29th, which this episode will probably come out after that. But if you guys get involved with them, that might be a good opportunity to get connected with this beer festival as well as some more professional craft beer professionals around the country. So
that's really cool. So,
yeah, I love that. You know, that, I mean, that's one of the coolest things about this industry, right? It's a really collegial industry. It's people really like to connect. People want to help each other out. I mean, even just the brief period of time that Ryan and I have been involved, the number of people that we've met around the country that interact with the craft beer community in a variety of different ways. And everybody's just really welcoming. You know, it's a really great place to be.
Absolutely. There's so much positivity and change that's happening through the craft beer community. And it's more than just alcohol. It's more than just like trying to make a buck. So many of these breweries are actually trying to do positive things in their communities. And so supporting these breweries by buying a ticket for this event, even if you're not able to attend for whatever reason, guys, if you've got the extra $15, help support these breweries help get their name out there. That's a pretty big deal for them and their communities and the positive things that they're doing in terms of fundraisers by brewing special beers to raise money for local organizations, things like that. It all kind of goes hand in hand and creates a lot of good change. So,
and like I would say, even if, you know, if you can't attend the festival or if you can, but you can't, you know, get one of the packs or get up to New York or North Carolina, buy a bunch of craft beer from the local breweries in your area, because absolutely. I mean,
stop buying Miller Lite and get something that's local.
Exactly. I mean, look, your local breweries, that money is going back into the community. It's going to pay for jobs. It's literally bringing manufacturing jobs into a lot of towns that haven't had them. And these, I mean, to your point, these breweries, I've rarely come across a brewery that doesn't have a number of community-based initiatives that they're working on, whether it's environmental things, whether it's social issues. You know, and then just creating these tap rooms that are really kind of communal gathering spaces. I mean, that's one of the things that Ryan and I, you know, love about what we do in the craft beer community, is that these craft breweries aren't there just to churn out a product. They're seeking to become a center within that community and be a positive impact. And it's super exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that, because, you know, that's one of the big things that we're all about with Into the Dark Blue is community community sustainability, and really trying to focus on helping our local businesses thrive, right? You know, I'm sure many of us have seen businesses close throughout COVID, and that's a lot of people affected. That's a business owner affected. That's people with jobs that they relied on. And even the breweries that are staying open, they're struggling. They're having a really hard time to make the money to pay the number of employees they need to continue to function. So the more that you guys support them, the more that your community can remain thriving with those local businesses instead of having to have corporate stuff come in and take over. So it's definitely a good, noble, and worthy cause.
Absolutely. And I don't think we mentioned this, so I want to make sure that we just put this out there. If you are interested in the festival, you can either come to at 90 Second Beer Review. It's 90 Second Beer Review on Instagram. We've got a link in our bio with a link tree that will take you to the event. You can also go to 90secondbeerreview.com. There's a Pints of Love Festival page on there that will walk you through the event. It has a link to Lemonade Social, which is the platform that's hosting this. And once you get there, you'll be able to buy your ticket, which unlocks the event. And then once you're in there, if you want to get yourself a VIP pack, there will be an option for New York and North Carolina. We've got a number of pickup locations in both states to pick up your pack. All of those are either at the one of the two bottle shops or at another craft brewery that's participating in the festival at their tap room. So, you know, you pick up your pack and then, you know, make a day of it when you go to pick it up. Go out to the brewery, grab a couple pints there, support that brewery. You know, buy some merchandise, do a couple things. That's really what we want to happen here, is we really just want to support these breweries. You know, we want to support the musicians, the, you know, beer and bar instructors, all the people that are going to be participating in this, because, you know, everybody needs it right now.
Absolutely. So is there a deadline to buy these tickets? I got two questions. That first, is there a deadline to buy the tickets?
Tickets will be available right up until the event.
Perfect. And I don't think, I may have missed it, but how much are the VIP tickets?
So the VIP tickets are $90 for North Carolina and $100 for New York. So the two packs are kind of broken out that way. So you'll have your 12 beers for North Carolina and your 12 for New York.
Got it. Perfect. That sounds great, guys, man. I'm really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to being a part of that. And I want to say thank you again for being on. I always love talking to you guys. It's always, even when we interact on Instagram and things like that, it's always a positive part of my day. And I really appreciate you guys for all that you're doing. So thank you. And really look forward to that event on February 13th and 14th.
Yep. Thanks for having us, Zach.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
I want to thank you for venturing into the dark blue with us today, where we're always striving